If you heard last week's sermon, you remember that it was titled Lawsuits and Other Stuff. It was in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He took two topics and didn't say a whole lot about lawsuits, but it was very specific that he wanted the folks to understand information about suing another Christian, another believer, a fellow believer. But then he's like, he cuts it off and goes right into another topic. Well, that's what I called the sermon title, Lawsuits and Other Stuff. This is when he got into the other stuff. Different topic. The other stuff in Paul's letter had to do with various sins that would keep people out of the kingdom of God. And he specifically focused on sexual sins. Well, today's teaching from the next verses in his letter are a continuation of that other stuff. In other words, what we're going to hear today will sound a lot like, not exactly, but a lot like what we heard last week. And it's that repetition of hearing the same thing again reminded me of the 1965 song by Herman's Hermits. I don't know if you'll recognize this or not. Mike's already laughing. I don't know why. But if you know it, you can join in or at least do part of it. Here's the way the song went. It goes, I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. Henry the Eighth, I am, I am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married 7 times before. And everyone was an Henry. She wouldn't have. Very good, Chuck. And we didn't even practice. She wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam. No. I'm her eighth old man. I'm Henry. Henry the Eighth, I am. And then it says second verse, same as the first. But I'm going to stop singing right now. That is not my gift, I don't think. But so here we go with Paul's second verse, same as the first. That's what I'm getting at. Second verse, same as the first to the Corinthians and to us today. Specifically, we're going to be covering 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 12 through 20. Now, generally, I get right into the scriptures and explain as I go, but today I want to do something a little different. I'm going to take the verses 12 through 20 and just give you a real quick overview of what those verses are going to be about. And then we'll actually read the verses and have some more to say. Paul is going to teach us that Christian freedom is not a license for immoral behavior, particularly sexual immorality. He argues that believers' bodies belong to God. He bought our bodies at a high price of Christ's sacrifice. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And finally, Paul tells us that our bodies were designed to glorify God rather than be used for selfish pleasures. So here's the key points that we will actually go deeper into. In verse 12, we're going to learn about freedom versus license. Paul counters the Corinthian slogan, everything is permissible, by arguing that not all things are beneficial or constructive. True freedom is not being mastered by anything, meaning we are to avoid addictions and destructive behaviors. Another thing we'll learn, verses 13 and 14, is about the body. We're part of the body of the Lord. This body is for the Lord. Our body is not temporary or insignificant. It is destined for a future resurrection. Therefore, it should be used to serve God and not for sexual immorality. We should act in ways, sexually and otherwise, that would honor God. We should respect our body as a sacred space. This means avoiding habits, even lawful ones, and we'll get into this, that become addictions. In verses 15 to 17, we're going to learn about spiritual union. Sexual acts unite individuals deeply. Because believers are part of Christ's body, engaging in sexual sin is a violation of that spiritual union with Jesus. Verses 18 to 20 will be about the temples of the Holy Spirit. Believers are instructed to, quote, flee from sexual immorality because our bodies are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We should actively remove ourselves from situations of temptation rather than just test our strength. How much can I be tempted before I give in? If you heard last week's sermon, you heard me talk about what I learned regarding the Grand Canyon and visitors that go there. And there are signs that say, stay away from the edge of the canyon. It's dangerous. And there's even a railing that says, that is a physical warning, don't cross the railing. And yet, 2 to 3 people every year die because they fall into the Grand Canyon having gotten too close to the edge. God does not want us getting too... When we're in temptation, we need to flee from it, not see how long we can stand it before we give in to it. And then the final thing we'll learn in today's verses, purchased at a price. Christians do not own themselves. We were bought by Christ, and therefore we should honor God with our bodies. Let's get into the verses now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20, and we'll start with just verse 12. Paul is saying to the Corinthians something that they've repeated themselves. He says, you say, quote, I'm allowed to do anything. But then Paul goes on to say, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Paul is challenging the Greek philosophical idea that what a person does with their body doesn't affect their spirit. Apparently, the church had been quoting and misapplying the words, quote, I'm allowed to do anything. Some of the Christians in Corinth were excusing their sins by saying that because Christ had taken away all their sin, they had complete freedom to live as they pleased. And on the surface, that kind of makes sense. If I've been saved and my sins have all been forgiven, then my next sin isn't going to affect me, right? Or they were saying that what they were doing was not strictly forbidden in Scripture. Oh, I don't see that exact word. I don't see that exact thing in the Bible, so I guess I'm free to do whatever. Now, Paul answered both of these excuses in several ways. I'll give three. First, it's true that Christ has taken away our sin. I hope I get an amen with this. Christ has taken away our sin, past, present, and future, if we give ourselves to the Lord. That is great news. So that's the main thing. But this does not give us the freedom to go on doing something that we know is wrong. That's because doing so shows that our sinful nature is still dominating us. Folks, do you know that even when we get saved and give our life to Christ, we still have the sinful person living in us? Some Bible translations call it the carnal self. It's there. But now it's got the Holy Spirit working against it and trying to keep us living and doing right. The New Testament specifically forbids many sins that were originally prohibited in the Old Testament. Now, secondly, some actions are not sinful in themselves, but they are not appropriate because they can control our lives and lead us away from God. Can you think of anything like that? I mean, I didn't mention this at Kennard, but it just occurred to me that I've lost now 116 pounds as of this morning in about just over a year. Not because I have self-control, because I've had no self-control over my body for decades and decades. Thank goodness, thank the Lord for the medicine that's available that controls the appetite and controls how much you eat. That's the only way it's happened. Eating is not sinful. But when you let food consume you to where it's an addiction and a behavior that's harming you, well, maybe that's what he's talking about here. So I'm preaching to myself on this message in more ways than one. Now then, finally, the third thing, Some actions may hurt others. Anything we do that would hurt someone instead of help someone, that's not good. That's not good. Verse 13 says this. You say, and again, Paul's quoting what the people have been saying. You say food was made for the stomach and stomach for the food. He says that is true, although someday God will do away with both. I kind of hated reading that part. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. Sexual immorality is a temptation that is always before us. It's been before us forever. But today it seems like it's even more prevalent. Movies, TV shows, videos present sex outside of marriage as normal, even a desirable part of life. And at the same time, biblical marriage is often shown as confining and joyless. We can even be looked down on by others if we're suspected of being pure. But God does not forbid sexual sin to be difficult. He knows of its power to destroy us physically and spiritually. No one should underestimate the power of sexual immorality. It has devastated countless lives and destroyed families, churches, communities, even nations. Sodom and Gomorrah, ever heard of them? God wants to protect us from damaging ourselves and others, so he offers to fulfill us, fill us with the loneliness, our desires, with himself. Now, verses 14 to 17. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Paul says, never! Exclamation point. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one in spirit with him. This teaching about sexual immorality and prostitutes was especially important for the Corinthian church. And I'm going to say something that some of you don't even know is in the Bible, or it was that Paul and the other Christians had to deal with in Corinth. The reason it's especially important for Paul to cover this in his letter is that for the Corinthian church is because the temple of the love goddess, her name was Aphrodite, by the Greeks, the Romans called her Venus. That temple was right there in Corinth, big as day, right in the center of town. And this temple was employed with 1,000 prostitutes, and they served as priestesses. They were up front. And sex was part of the worship ritual. Did you know that's what they're dealing with? They were dealing with. Paul clearly stated that Christians are to have no part in sexual immorality, even if it's acceptable and popular in the surrounding culture. How hard it must have been for these people who grew up. There's the temple. This is the way we act. This is the way we worship. That's the way mom and dad worshiped, grandma and grandpa, aunt and uncle. Everybody worshiped that way. And now, because of Christ saying that this is wrong, let me give you a better way, they had to unlearn what they thought was normal. Well, moving on to verse 18. Paul writes this with a short sentence with an exclamation point at the end. Now, this applies to a lot of things, but he says, run from sexual sin. He doesn't say, now stop and consider whether it's right or wrong, or stop and barely turn and look back, or stop and mosey. He says, run, Forrest, run when it comes to sexual sin. And he goes on to explain why. He says, no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. So sexual immorality is a sin against your body. Now, Christians are free to be all they can be for God, but they are not free from God's plan for a healthy and holy life. God created sex to be a beautiful and essential ingredient in marriage. But sexual sin, which is sex outside of the marriage relationship, always hurts someone. It hurts God because it shows that we would rather follow our own desires than the leading of the Holy Spirit. It hurts others because it violates the commitment so necessary to a trusting relationship. And it can bring disease to our bodies. And it deeply affects our psyches and our identities. It results in anguish when we harm ourselves physically and spiritually. Now then, verse 19 and 20, we'll finish up here. Paul says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. What did Paul mean when he said our bodies belong to God? Many people think that they have the right to do whatever they want with their own bodies. Although they think this is freedom, they are really enslaved to their own desires. I've said this multiple times over multiple years. When we become Christians and invite Christ to come into our life, when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us right then. Right then. Therefore, we no longer own our bodies. That we have been bought with a high price brings to mind the picture of slaves purchased at an auction. Christ's death freed us from sin, but also obligates us to his service. If you live in a building that's owned by someone else, you try not to violate the building's rules. Because our body belongs to God, we must not violate his rules or his standards of living. That's what it's getting at. Now, I want to end today's teaching with an emphasis on the fact that Christ's death freed us from sin, but also obligates us instantly to his service. Sounds to me like, when I think about this, sounds to me like we go from being one slave here to a slave there. We go from being a slave to sin, which is a bad thing in all the ways that Paul's told us, to being a slave to Christ, which is a good thing. Actually, the Bible says that believers are to be slaves, and that's the word used. Other translations say bondservant. So we're to be slaves or bondservants to God and his righteousness. And righteousness simply means right living. Now then, I usually end a message with just my final thoughts of how I see everything, give an application, that type of thing. But today I want to do it a little bit differently. I want Paul to end today's message with his own words. And not words to the Corinthians, but words to the Romans. Because he established a church there too, and he wrote to them as well in the book we call Romans. So in Romans chapter 6, verses 18 to 22, let's end with listening to Paul as he writes this. Now, and he's talking to Christians, now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand this. Previously, he says, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligations to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. And then finally, he ends with, but now you are free. You're free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the way you can teach us through other people. And thank you that you gave Paul the words to say. Now help us to hear them and understand them and apply them. And Lord, we're going to mess up. So we thank you for your mercy and grace that you also provide every day. As the Holy Spirit lives in us, help us to become more like Christ every day until the day you take us home, or the day you come in the rapture and take us all up into the sky. Lord, after saying all that and believing all that, we thank you in Jesus' name. And now everyone go, be slaves, which will cause you to be blessed and be a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Would you guys mention one thing about Mother's Day?